Let me tell you about Robert and Ruth. Robert and Ruth have worked hard all their lives. They both enjoyed their careers and were considered by many to be very good workers. They gave all their time and energy to their jobs. But they had five children. And these five children seemed to get in the way as Robert and Ruth worked so hard to do their jobs well and earn good money. To be honest, it seemed like they enjoyed their jobs and career challenges far more than raising their children.
Hello, this is Carol, and I want to welcome you to Women of Hope. And how are you today, Tammy, my friend?
I am really doing well. Thank you, Carol.
And I hope you are all doing well. Are you sitting down to listen, or are you keeping up with some work? Whatever you're doing, we hope you enjoy our time together today.
This sounds like a rather sad story, doesn't it? We have Erica with us today to tell us this story about two parents who she called Robert and Ruth.
Yes, Tammy, it is a sad story. Have you ever heard of the law of the harvest? It simply says, you reap what you sow.
Yes. When you sow, say, tomato seeds and take care of them and water them, you'll see them grow. And soon you'll be picking fresh, delicious tomatoes.
That's right. And it's the same with our family, isn't it? It sounds like Robert and Ruth were not very interested in sowing much into their children's lives. Tell us more, Erica.
At first, it hurt the children that their parents were never around, not even for special days or for school or sport events. But they soon got over it. The children learned to look after themselves, much to their parents' relief. They became used to their parents going away on many trips and going to endless meetings. And they learned to cope with having very little attention from them. They found other meaningful people in their lives to fill the empty spaces left by their parents. The years have passed now, and Robert and Ruth are in their late 60s. Retirement has arrived, and all their children are married and live their own lives. They now have no time for Robert and Ruth and rarely call or write. Any family gathering is usually a forced event, strained with tension and deep unresolved issues. No one dares to mention the past, and there are no happy photo albums around. Robert and Ruth cannot understand why their children seem to not be interested in them. They don't seem to want to do anything with them or help them. Robert and Ruth get angry and frustrated. They feel they deserve more attention and time from their children. Unfortunately, they didn't think the law of the harvest applied to them. They now expect to find love and acceptance where they sowed rejection and not much interest. They demand admiration and tenderness where they planted only weeds of selfishness. They expect to reap what they didn't sow.
This is a sad story, just like I thought. We're talking about the law of the harvest today. What you sow is what you reap.
And if you have a garden, you will know just what Erica's been talking about. We can't expect a lovely crop of fresh, juicy tomatoes if we don't bother planting the seeds and taking care of them, can we? And in just the same way, we can't expect our children's love and attention when they grow up if we as parents have never given them any love and attention.
This has been a serious lesson for Robert and Ruth to learn. Today, they are a sad, pathetic couple. All alone, they feel rejected in the later part of their life. Instead of finally being able to enjoy their children and grandchildren, they hear, "I'm sorry, we're too busy, we can't come today." And this is the same message they gave their children long ago. Friend, if you had the same kind of experience as Ruth and Robert's children, then listen carefully. The message they heard, "I have more important things to do than to be with you," made them feel rejected. If as a child you sense this message often enough, you probably still have feelings of worthlessness. You may feel resentment towards your parents, and your love for them may have turned cold. Perhaps you've learned to live with these feelings and you think that it doesn't matter now. But you know, it's a mistake to think that your childhood doesn't matter anymore. The fact is that our childhood never leaves us. It casts a long shadow for years to come. It leaves a permanent mark on the way we think and the way we view life and the way we view ourselves. Deep down, we can feel we're not good enough, not worth anything, not secure. And those feelings can stay buried deep inside, but they don't go away. And if those who gave birth to you couldn't make you feel loved, then it's not surprising if you think there must be something very wrong with you. You may never actually say these words, but deep down you may feel that you just aren't worth much. You feel the emptiness deep inside yourself. If our parents do not give us a positive role model and a loving example, this can affect our own parenting skills, and we may find ourselves making the same mistakes our parents made. How can we tell our children we love them if we never heard our parents say it to us?
That is so true, Erica. If a parent does not show love to their child and doesn't have time for them, the effect can go on and on, right through the child's life. But isn't it good to know that it doesn't have to spoil your life? You may be able to start an honest talk with your parents and slowly rebuild a more loving relationship. And you may be able to understand now why your parents didn't give you what you needed back when you needed it. And hopefully, now, you may be able to forgive them and move on, feeling free to love.
And even if that's not possible, as an adult, you can think again about who you are and what your qualities are. Value yourself. Listen to the opinions of people who love you now. Most of all, remember that God loves you more than the very best mother or father. You are worth so much in His eyes. Start seeing yourself as God sees you rather than going on feelings and maybe acting like a rejected child.
As you listen to Erica today on Women of Hope, maybe you identify more with Ruth and Robert. Perhaps you've been too busy in your working life to spend much time with your children.
You may have felt like you were doing the right thing, working hard and providing for your family, but your children were left alone much of the time, and you didn't realize that they were starving for your love and affection. Maybe today all your children have grown up, and somehow they never have time for you. Now they don't show you the love and tenderness you feel you deserve. If you understand the simple law of the harvest, are you able to admit that maybe the seeds you sowed so many years ago were actually thorns? I beg you, do not waste another day. Your children need to hear you say, "I'm sorry. Please, forgive me." One expression of regret and repentance may open a great big door of love. Children of all ages do forgive their parents, and you may find that the rest of your life can be turned around by this simple act. It may take time for your children to forgive you, and they may need to see your change of attitude. You may need to make an extra effort to be there for them and do things for them and their children before they trust you that you really do love them. So don't leave it any longer. It's not too late to tell them and show them, your grown children, that you do love them, and it's not too late to let them return your love.
This may not be an easy thing for you to do. It might take a lot of courage. But your children need to know, even though they're grown up now, that you do love them and you didn't mean to hurt them. You are listening to Women of Hope, where we've been talking about the law of the harvest. And by now, I'm sure you know what that is. You reap what you sow.
If you, as a parent, sow love and tenderness in your children's lives, they are likely to grow into loving and tender adults. If you spend time with them and encourage them, then when they grow up, they will want to spend time with you and encourage you in your later years. They will also know how to take care of their own children.
I'm reminded of a very old story from God's Word, the Bible, about a man called Jacob. He was the grandson of Abraham and an ancestor of the Israelites. Jacob had 12 sons, but he loved one most of all, Joseph. Jacob loved this one son so much, he had a special lovely tunic made just for him. Now, Jacob wasn't a poor man. In fact, he was very wealthy, and he could have given each one of his sons a lovely tunic, but he didn't. This caused heartache to the other sons, and they hated the one special son so much, they decided to kill him. One day, Joseph came to visit them out in the field where they were working. He was wearing his beautiful clothes, and he started showing off to them. The 11 brothers thought here was their chance. At first, they threw him into a deep pit while they made their plans on how to get rid of him. But as they sat down to eat, they saw some slave traders coming by on their way to Egypt. So they decided not to kill him. Instead, they sold him to the slave traders for 20 pieces of silver. Then they took his tunic, his special lovely tunic, and they ripped it and dribbled goat's blood all over it. They took it to their father and they lied, saying, "We found this. Examine it and see whether it's your son's robe." Jacob recognized it, and he said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has eaten him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Of course, Jacob's grief was unbearable, and he refused to be comforted.
As we hear this story, we may think, how awful! Those brothers did a terrible thing. How could they lie so callously and unashamedly to their father, and then watch him grieve so much?
Would it surprise you to know that this is exactly what Jacob had done to his own father when he was a young man? Let me tell you this part of the story from God's Word. You see, Jacob had a twin brother called Esau. And even though they were twins, they were totally different. Esau was very hairy, and Jacob wasn't. Jacob loved staying home by his mother, while Esau loved hunting, and he was his father's favorite son. But years later, as their father Isaac lay on his deathbed nearly blind, he called Esau and said, "Take your bow and arrows and go hunting for game. Cook me my favorite tasty dish, and then I will give you my final blessing." Jacob's mother was listening to this, and she wanted her favorite son to receive the blessing instead. So while Esau was away hunting, she quickly made Isaac's favorite meal with some goat meat, and she told Jacob, "Take this to your father and pretend to be Esau, and then he will give you the blessing." But the problem was the hairy arms. She cleverly covered his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of a young goat. And she took Esau's clothes and made Jacob put them on, and then sent him into the father's tent with a delicious meal she had cooked, including fresh bread. When Jacob came in, pretending he was Esau, he had to lie to his father. Not once, not twice, but three times. And this is how it's written. Jacob took the food to his father. "My father," he said. "Yes, my son," his father answered. "Who are you? Esau or Jacob?" And Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son." And the father asked, "How did you find the wild game so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God helped me. He gave me success," Jacob replied. And the father said to Jacob, "Come closer so I can touch you and make sure that you really are Esau." When he touched Jacob's hands covered in the goatskin, he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Are you really my son Esau?" he asked again. And Jacob replied, "Yes, I am."
Three deliberate lies. And now, all these years later, his own sons deliberately lie to him. No one can escape the law of the harvest, for it is written, "You cannot fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant."
Well, Jacob certainly did, didn't he? When he was quite young, he deceived his father, when his father was on his deathbed and almost blind. He pretended to be his older brother so his father would give him the blessing that's reserved for the eldest.
And now here he is, many years later, when his own sons have grown up, and they come in to deceive him. You remember how they deceived him, don't you? They brought his favorite son's special tunic, all covered with goat's blood. They said they had found it in the field. They knew their father would think he'd been attacked and killed by a wild animal, and they let him mourn for his special son.
Remember the law of the harvest? That's it. We reap what we sow. Jacob sowed lies and deceit when he was young. He told three lies, didn't he? So that he could have the special blessing that should have belonged to his brother. And now, when he is old, his own family deceived him.
My friend, if you are still at the stage of life when you're planting seeds into your children's lives, I hope this story encourages you to think of what you're planting. Are you planting seeds of love and patience, truth and understanding? Then one day, when you grow old, you will reap this harvest and you will be rewarded with the warmth of your growing family beside you.
Thank you, Erica. What you say is so true. It's very important for us to be loving and helpful to our children so that when they are older, they will know how to be loving and helpful to their children.
And the bonus is that they are more likely to be loving and helpful to us, too, when we are old.
But let me say this, dear friend. Though the law of the harvest is an important principle to remember, we should never feel that it's too late. We can ask God to help us to make changes in our families, even if things were not done right in the past. God shows us grace and kindness that we don't deserve. He loves us. He forgives us when we come and sincerely say we are sorry. And God loves to turn sad situations right around and give us a new beginning. So why don't you ask for His help today?
You're still with us here on Women of Hope. We often tell you how much we love to hear from you. And we mean it, don't we, Carol?
We certainly do. We love to hear lots of things. How you feel about our time together on the radio. What you're struggling with. So we can pray with you.
You can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.